Welcome to Head to Heart Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Markham. This bi-weekly podcast is created to be a safe space to admit what we truly believe in our hearts. And many of us, when we take the time to truly examine ourselves, will find some sort of shame, fear, or lies hiding in there. And it is never God's will for us to stay in bondage to those. It's His truth that sets us free from them. But there's a huge difference between having biblical knowledge floating around in our heads and actually believing that it's true. Until God's truth makes its way into our hearts, nothing changes. We'll be doing a mix of solo episodes and interviews with friends who have experienced the freedom that comes when head knowledge becomes heart knowledge. The truth will set you free so you can walk every day in the freedom God desires for you. It's time to let go of shame, fear, and lies. Those aren't yours to carry. Thanks for joining us. Welcome back to Head to Heart Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Markham. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode today where I have brought a brand new guest. His name is Micah Brenner. So Micah, why don't you take the time to just introduce yourself, who you are, what you do?
Yeah, thank you. It's really nice to be here. I love sharing with my faith and sharing a little bit about my story, in any hopes that it can help someone else. And I am currently located in Texas, and that's by way of 23 years in Los Angeles. And then I was born and raised in Western Oregon. I am an illustrator and executive coach. I even view my illustration as a sort of a place of serving. The method in which I draw usually functions as a guide for other people as they're making. I do storyboarding primarily, which helps other people craft their stories. That's sort of related to coaching and in a way discipleship, in that I'm coming alongside somebody and using my skills to help them develop their passion and their growth and bring their visions to life. I have a wonderful wife of, I got to get this right, 9 years, and then two kids, a 4-year-old and a little girl that's almost 2 here in about another week. And they're just fantastic.
And would you like to share one fun fact about you?
I used to go cliff diving.
Oh my goodness.
Into glacier water up in Western Oregon. I don't know why our parents let us do that, but that's the kind of thing you were allowed to do before cell phones and the internet.
Wow. Well, no one could track you. That's why.
That's right. Yeah. We had no clue just how dangerous it was.
Yeah, that sounds like an Oregon thing to me. For people in Oregon to do, that sounds pretty normal. I don't know why. I've never been to the West Coast.
Yeah. Now that I think about it, it does seem very Oregonian to like go out there with a bunch of hippies and jump off of rocks into a river. Wow. But yeah.
That's awesome. But that was when you were younger.
That was when I was younger. I would still do it now. Just not with my kids around.
To watch you do that and then think it's a good idea. Yeah, understandable. Yeah. So, Micah, what have you been set free from?
I have an extremely high tolerance for embarrassment. And so I think that I have been set free. I don't know if that's a temperamental thing, it's really hard for me to get embarrassed, and it's really hard for me to get offended. And so I credit that to freedom, but something the Lord has allowed, whether it's that he wrote it into the DNA or that he released me from it at some point, which I suspect a little of both. Mm-hmm. You know, it continues to play out in a way that in some ways I think it's what makes me good at coaching, is that I'm unafraid to offend people, and I also don't get embarrassed by asking difficult questions. And then it also plays out in terms of sharing my faith. Part of the reason it's easy for me is that, I guess it is easy for me. I just kind of don't care what it makes me look like. you know, I care about the receiver of what I say, more about, you know, more than how I care, how it reflects back on me, if that makes sense.
Oh, that's awesome. Because when I think of my life, like something I've been thinking about recently is I'm like, how great would it be if I could just live as an unoffendable person? Like it would just eliminate a lot of overthinking, a lot of anxious thoughts. And yeah, that's something I strive to be like.
If you're loving Head to Heart so far, I have another podcast recommendation for you. It's called Your Two Best Friends Podcast, and you may already know one of the hosts because Danielle Hanlon was a guest on this show, and now her and Annalise have started their own podcast for those who want to grow in their relationship with God within a solid community. It's both edifying and funny, the best of both worlds. So you could find it on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, and I'll link it in the show notes just so you have a little shortcut. So make sure to check out their podcast when you're done listening to this episode.
In your two jobs, we say you're an illustrator, and then you're also an executive coach. And I'm just so curious, how would you define what ministry is? Because it sounds like talking about your faith is something you do in these jobs that are not technically like ministry church jobs.
I suppose my first description would be, you know, sort of the open book test answer of, you know, when you have a vocation within the church organization, you know, but that's not adequate because ministry, I think everybody has their own ministry. You know, my marriage is a ministry. My being a parent is a ministry. And so I think anytime you have an opportunity to demonstrate the character of God, the character of Christ through the Holy Spirit to others in your world, you are ministering. I suppose by extension, that could be anytime you do just about anything, so long as your heart is the posture to be ministering. Wow. You know, a lot of people don't think that their jobs are particularly important, or maybe they think their job is a very isolated portion of their life. When people talk about work-life balance, you know, that whole phrase I think is completely broken, because work is part of your life and your life is part of your work. You don't just, you know, surgically draw, like segment off a portion of your being. You know, you are still you that whole time. And so regardless of what your job is, that is your ministry. You know, if we really think about it, we are never in any place by accident, so long as we submit ourselves. So when I'm weeding my front yard and the neighbor walks by, the way that I relate to them is potentially a posture of ministry.
Yeah, and that's a way more holistic way of looking at ministry. And I think it's so funny that you said we don't surgically separate that part of work life from our brains, because there's this pretty recent show. I think it's on Apple TV. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's called Severance.
Oh, yeah, I have heard a lot of it. I really want to watch it because I love Ben Stiller's work.
It's like a thriller on the edge of your seat type of thing where they separate their work life from their other parts of their life. It's just crazy. So it's funny that you said that.
I gotta watch it because maybe I'll completely revise what I just said.
Maybe we have to record this again, we don't know. So I don't know if you've ever heard this term. Have you heard of it, like the bait and switch? Okay, so what I mean when I say that is that if we use it in a faith context, bait and switch is like when you become someone's friend only for the purpose of sharing the gospel with them. And I think that's, it feels so fake, and it feels almost like manipulative in a way, to only become a friend for the purpose of sharing the gospel. So how would we avoid that?
I mean, I almost want to ask each individual person that's feeling that, you know, I want to kick into coaching around that idea, but I suppose, you know, just listening to the way the conundrum is phrased, I guess I wonder how, you know, a person is viewing the gospel and viewing their place in that other person's life. If if you're viewing another person in terms of, you know, a scorecard, then I would argue you might not even really be sharing the gospel, you know, because you can't control them, but you can control yourself. I can control me. And so if I'm looking at someone in terms of, even when I'm making relationships with people in my life and I'm thinking, oh, they could be a future client, you know, and it's like, well, yeah, but do I really, really care about them? And if I do really, really care about them, then obviously the best thing they can ever get is the gospel. And then also one of the best things they can get is to be one of my clients, because I do really good work both in art and in coaching. And so it doesn't come from a what can I get out of them stance. It comes from a what do I want for them stance. And so if you're viewing the people in your life in terms of I want the gospel for them instead of I want salvation experience from them, I think it'll radically transform how that's viewed, because truly that there is no more wonderful thing you could want for anybody than the gospel. Nothing more altruistic. The other thing I would say is that a huge responsibility comes with sharing the gospel. What an amazing gift it is to get to share the good news of grace with people, but also what a massive responsibility to demonstrate grace to those people. I don't think you get to separate one from the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good. And I know that you're a coach, so when I ask you questions, you may want to ask me questions back.
To reveal, you are familiar with that.
My real motives or something. So feel free, because those questions can be really helpful for anyone listening of like, oh yeah, maybe I do need to just reevaluate what's inside of my motivations. But what you said is really good, and that I want this for the person. It's more than, okay, this is terrible, but sometimes I feel like it's possible to think like, well, I want to check that off my to-do list, my Christian to-do list of like, check, I told someone about my faith, instead of like, well, did the conversation go well? Did you present the gospel well? Like, those are the more important things.
Yeah. And I, you know, and I'm sure there is something to be said for the checklist to-do list aspect. Because, you know, while it's our responsibility to walk out our faith in the gospel, it isn't our responsibility to save anybody. You know, that responsibility, thankfully, has been completely taken off of our eternal plates. And, you know, the salvation part of it's done already. And so, you know, I don't want to cause anyone to hesitate that might not have otherwise hesitated, but just to, I think that check of, you know, do I really want this for you? Or is this truly just me hitting a quota? It isn't to say the Holy Spirit can't, obviously, you know, can use anyone and anything. I think in order to satisfy the question that you asked, which is how can we avoid the bait and switch? I think that's how to avoid the bait and switch. It's just know that every time you share it, it's truly because it's the greatest thing that could possibly happen to anyone. And I would say if it isn't the greatest thing that could possibly happen to anyone, then maybe it's time to revisit what the gospel really means for oneself, you know, for me, when if I can't honestly share it that way, then how am I experiencing the gospel?
Yeah, that's a good point. So in what way are you using your current jobs to share your faith?
I don't know whether or not it's a cop out to say that, oh, you know, I just live it, but, I do try to demonstrate. I try to conduct myself in a way that is different than the way the world conducts itself. I try to be above reproach when it comes to my work ethic, my deadlines, my communication, the way I take criticism and feedback, the way I offer criticism and feedback. And then if something in, you know, I would say, you know, Christian faith tradition, Christian wisdom traditions comes to mind, I don't hesitate to share it. You know, if there's a C.S. Lewis quote that comes to mind, or if there's a scripture verse that comes to mind, I don't hesitate to quote it or use it. I will couch it in such a way that it is palatable for my audience. You know, I mm-hmm. might say, you know, there's an old Middle Eastern proverb that says X, Y, and Z, or there's this poetic text that I love and it says such and such. You know, if I'm going to quote, you know, depending which books from the Bible that I'm quoting. But those are some of the ways that I enact that.
It would say so much more about a person if they're able to look at someone and be like, wow, they live differently, rather than just they always talk about this one thing. It's not saying that speaking about the gospel is bad or wrong, not at all, but it's so essential. It's backed up by our life choices.
Missions is very simple. There are only two ministries in missions. You're either called to go down the well or you're called to hold the rope for those that go down. Either way, there should be scars in your hands. Where are your scars? What has it cost you to be a Christian? This is a quote by Paul Washer that I really think encapsulates how Christians should view missions. What has it cost us to do God's work around the world? There are 50 million people that are trapped in modern-day slavery today. That number is too big for Christians to not care about, for us to not ask God, what are we being called to do? Jesus, in Matthew 25:40, told his disciples, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of my brothers, you did it to me." He was saying that we will be judged by how we treat people. How we look at the vulnerable and oppressed and exploited in society is how we treat him. It's going to be more likely in our walk with Christ that you have to ask God if you shouldn't be doing anything than if you should be. What you should be doing is helping these 50 million people trapped in modern day slavery. These young girls that are going to be in forced child marriages. These young children that are going to be forced into prostitution. These young girls that are going to be forced to do domestic and sexual labor for the rest of their lives. What is God calling us to do? My name is Danielle Hanlon, and I work with an anti-trafficking organization called She Is Safe, where we are in the most at-risk and underserved places around the world, equipping women and girls to live a life free, to be who they were called and created by Christ to be. That's what we want for every woman and girl that is exploited and in slavery around the world. There are going to be two links in the show notes. One is going to be to donate financially to She Is Safe, and the other link is my email address where you can contact me for more information. I would love to invite you to be a part of this and to share with you more specifics about how we can combat trafficking together as the body of Christ. And now, back to your Head to Heart episode.
Also, you know, I work in largely in a narrative, story-driven industry, and you know, they are one of the axioms is to know your audience. And so that idea when Paul says be all things to all people, that in, you know, by any means you might win some to Christ, I really embrace that. And so whatever way is going to make it palatable, and the idea that like the spiritual infants need infant food, right? If I have to pre-digest, if I have to chew it up like baby, you know, mama bird, and instead of using the word gospel, you can say, you know, good news, or instead of using books of the Bible, you can say, you know, biographies of Christ, you know, or, you know, ancient wisdom text, or, you know, whatever it is that is going to be digestible to my audience is the way I try to relate it. I also have so much faith in the power of the Holy Spirit and the gospel that I kind of don't think I can wreck it.
Yeah.
You know,
that takes a lot of pressure off. What are some practical steps that listeners who are hearing this episode can take to share their faith in their workplaces or, you know, recreational places or in their own home? What are some steps they can take to share their faith without being awkward about it or weird or overthinking it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a good question. One of the reasons I might not have the best answer to that is that I work from my home and I have for so long, but I guess a lot of us do now.
Yeah.
I really think that walking it out, like we've already talked about, conducting yourself in a way that sets you apart. That idea of holiness just means set apart. And so, holding yourself to standards versus holding other people to standards, because they haven't necessarily agreed, you know, they haven't agreed to the standards of Christianity, or, you know, all the ways to conduct ourselves. Those apply inwards, so they don't apply outwards, if that makes sense. And then knowing your audience, get really, really familiar with your text. I will admit that in this calendar year, I have been very bad about being in scripture regularly, but a lifetime habit of doing that, or at least an adulthood habit of doing that. It's on your mind. It's on your mind. It's in your heart. You know, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. You will have wisdom. You will have scripture at hand. Your mind will be renewed. And then regular prayer. I know that those are like the two most obvious, least favorite answers. Read your Bible and pray. But it really is the secret to saturating yourself with the Holy Spirit, creating opportunities for those things to just overflow out of you. And then, you know, something that I think Christians are not always great at is thoughts and prayers. Offering thoughts and prayers are wonderful. I do not discount the power of those, but find ways to very intentionally provide physical material support to people around you and get creative and get specific. And there was never a time in Jesus's ministry or in the time of the early church where there wasn't an emphasis on physically caring for people. And even potentially be frivolous about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's really good. That's a practical step. I like that a lot, in that, yes, prayers do work, but to someone who doesn't pray or doesn't know Jesus yet, that could mean nothing to them in the middle of whatever they're going through, like their pain or something. So would you recommend any resources for any listeners who want to understand more about this?
Yeah, Conspiracy of Kindness. That's a great book. And it's specifically about sharing the love of Jesus. And then as far as other resources, I mean, you know, the parable of he knows he's going to get fired, so he starts forgiving all of his master's debts to people so that they'll like look favorably on him when he needs a job. And like, it's just this really bizarre, vexing parable. Because the guy seems like he's just straight up stealing from his master, but Jesus tells us to be like that guy in his approach to sharing the gospel. And so that's where I think getting creative about using, you know, your physical means to care for people is like, give somebody, you know, get them a coffee or... like get them a grocery gift certificate, or You know, send them milk and cookies, or, you know, like whatever it is, you know, new clean socks. I don't know, whatever it is, you know, get creative like this manager. And, you know, you live in God's house, you live in his world, you, or I'll use ownership language. I live in his world. I use his resources. He pays all of my bills. You know, he's my source for everything. And so I can be like that manager and go, hey, I only have so much time here. How can I use my boss's, you know, my father's stuff, to further his kingdom? And, I don't know, get excited, get creative, maybe get together with some friends and come up, like, pool your resources to do something, you know, something kind of outlandishly generous, or, you know, sneakily caring, and just see what happens.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I will find the reference for that and I'll link it in the show notes for that
parable. Oh, cool.
And then also, I just got this flashback. So I think my junior year of high school, I became friends with this girl who sat next to me in study hall. And I just, wow. This goes along with what you're saying about giving something practical, because I was like, oh yeah, that like really works. It worked in my life that one time. And she was telling me just like, she believed God was real and everything, but she didn't have that deep personal connection with him yet. And she was telling me that just some of the thoughts that were going through her mind, just I recognize as all lies and all very destructive to who she was as a person. And I was like, you know, those aren't true. Like, that's not what I think about you. That's not what God thinks about you. And then I was like, I actually have a book. I read it recently. It's, it was just a book about like dispelling the lies of the world with the Lord's truth. And I was like, I read it. It's awesome. It really helped me. I'll give it to you. And I gave it to her. And then that really started her faith journey. Mm. I didn't expect it to. I was just like really hoping that she would understand how valuable she is. And now she like one of my closest friends, and she's loves the Lord, and she's like grown in so much in him. And that was because I gave her a book, and like the Holy Spirit just took it from there, you know?
Yeah. That's so cool. And it also, what I hear in that is that you gave her your book.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't like, hey, you should go buy this book, or here's a, you know, here's the one that, yeah, I got you a copy, which is great, but you actually gave her your book, you know. I don't know, that feels, you know, powerfully, personally, and specifically generous.
Yeah, had all my underlines in it and everything.
So cool. Like, that, you can't buy that in a store, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
So do you have any final encouragements for anyone listening who's like, yes, I want to follow through on this and I want to take action steps? What is your final encouragement for them?
The final encouragement is that you are where you are with who you are with on purpose, and that everything around you and in your life, good or bad as you might perceive it, from the standpoint of eternity, looking back on your life, it is all unfolding perfectly. And you are called for such a time as this. And you are exactly what your world needs.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much for being a guest, Micah. It was just such a joy to have you. And I hope that this episode will be such a blessing to people who are like, feel stuck in this, or they want to take steps, but they don't know where to go. Yeah. So I just thank you so much for sharing your experience and your wisdom with us.
Yeah. Thank you, Jenny. It was a real honor to be brought on here, and you had excellent questions, and, you know, I'm excited for you and for your listenership, and just really, really honored to have been invited. So thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Head to Heart Podcast. It's a joy to record them and a joy to have you listen.
Since you're a dedicated listener and made it to the very end of the episode, I have two gifts for you. One is that I have a free resource linked in the show notes for you. It's a resource created to help you take the truth you've learned either in this episode or in a previous one and apply it to your life. The second gift I have for you is access to my seasonal playlist. Every season, summer, fall, winter, spring, I create a regular playlist and a worship playlist that will be ongoing throughout the season. And you'll be able to follow it on Spotify if you need some good boogie tunes. Because let's be honest, in another life, I would have been a DJ. So you now have full access to meet all your seasonal music needs in the show notes. As always, I love hearing from you. So follow me on Instagram and send me a DM of how this episode impacted you. The handle is headtoheart_podcast. And if you would be so kind, leave a 5-star rating and review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or the website. By doing this, you'll help me get more amazing guests on the show in the future. I'll be releasing new episodes to you every other Friday, so stay tuned and thanks for joining us.